Good afternoon. It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting from Signal Hill in Kodiak, Alaska, where it's 36 degrees right now. We've gone right by the predicted high of 34. Sunny skies, northwest winds 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30, and we have been getting some gusts. Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 22. Northwest wind to 20 miles per hour tonight. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high near 34. Northwest winds to 10 miles per hour becomes south in the afternoon, and we're looking for maybe a little snow tomorrow night, mainly after 9 p.m. Coming up on the midday news, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services has expanded the list of those eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. The head of the Kodiak Area Native Association is missing. A sunken vessel has caused a diesel spill in Sitka Sound. And state lawmakers are investigating a whistleblower complaint that the state didn't fine a seafood plant for what they call egregious violations of COVID-19 workplace safety standards. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The White House finds itself in a standoff with states that are lifting mask mandates now, a day after Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced this at a news conference.
It is now time to open Texas 100%.
President Biden then fired back.
The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it.
The president echoing the warnings of federal health officials who caution that easing coronavirus restrictions before the U.S. has a chance to inoculate everyone in the next 3 or 4 months could lead to a major setback in the country's battle against the pandemic. The Republican governors of Texas and Mississippi announced complete rollbacks of coronavirus protocols, arguing that safety is an individual responsibility, not one that should be mandated by government. The CDC says the recent sharp declines in new COVID cases have since leveled off, and now there's a risk that the pandemic will take a turn for the worse. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says he will not resign. The Democrat is under pressure from some members of his own party after at least 3 women accused the governor of sexual misconduct. NPR's Hanzi Lo Wong reports.
Making his first appearance at a press conference since these allegations became public, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he will fully cooperate with an ongoing investigation by New York State Attorney General.
I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable.
Cuomo said kissing and hugging is a way of greeting people that he will change. Cuomo's administration is also under investigation for allegedly being dishonest about how many people living in nursing homes have died from COVID-19. State lawmakers have revoked emergency powers Cuomo was granted to respond to the pandemic. Hanzi Luong, NPR News, New York.
Again, Cuomo denies touching anyone inappropriately. In other news, a commander of the Washington, D.C. National Guard tells lawmakers there was a 3-hour delay in sending troops to the Capitol January 6th. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports on the latest Senate oversight hearing about the Capitol riots.
Major General William Walker says he received a frantic call from the head of the Capitol Police a little before 2 p.m. on January 6th, but it wasn't until after 5 p.m. that he received proper approval and support to mobilize more than 150 National Guard members. Walker tells the Senate Homeland Security Committee the delay was, quote, unusual, and that he grew frustrated at the lag time after rioters stormed the Capitol and overran the police presence there. 5 people died that day. The Justice Department has charged more than 300 people with crimes in connection with the riots. Congress is working to understand the security failures and prevent them from happening again. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
The Dow closes down 119 points. You're listening to NPR News.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services has massively expanded the list of those eligible to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. According to a DHSS press release, the list now includes those 55 years and up and persons 16 years and older who are essential workers as defined by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and, or at high risk or might be at high risk status for severe COVID-19 illness as defined by the CDC or one's medical provider, or live in multi-generational household or an unserved community as defined by the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. Additionally, the State Vaccine Task Force is expecting over 110,000 more doses of vaccine this month. The head of the Kodiak Area Native Association is missing. The Coast Guard says CANA's CEO Andy Tuber was piloting a helicopter that disappeared Tuesday afternoon. The Coast Guard says it launched a search for Tuber 66 nautical miles northeast of Kodiak. Searchers are looking for a black and white Robinson 66 helicopter with a tail number N1767. A family member called the Coast Guard District 17 watchstanders around 5 p.m. on Tuesday. They were told Tuber had taken off from Merrill Field Airport in Anchorage about 3 hours earlier and was headed to Kodiak. He is believed to be the only person on board the helicopter. An MH-60 helicopter crew and an HC-130 Hercules were dispatched to search for him. A Coast Guard spokesperson said the search crew spotted debris in the area around 7 p.m. They were unable to recover it. That search continues this morning with an MH-60 helicopter and Coast Guard cutter. Tuber resigned last week as chairman and president of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium and from the University of Alaska Board of Regents the same day. A sunken vessel has caused a diesel fuel spill in Sitka Sound. The Coast Guard received a report on Friday that there was a sheen on the water between Cobb Island and Silver Point south of Sitka. An Air Station Sitka crew flew over the site and found the fishing vessel Haida Lady submerged, surrounded by a large sheen of diesel. According to a situation report from the Department of Environmental Conservation, the vessel owner reported 1,500 gallons of diesel fuel and 55 gallons of hydraulic oil on boat at the time of the sinking. The Coast Guard hired Sitka-based Hansen Maritime to help with the cleanup efforts. The company had surrounded the site with a containment boom, a floating barrier that holds in fuel and oil. They're also using sorbent boom to soak up excess oil. Coast Guard Representative Brian Wareda says there were some delays in cleanup efforts because of weather, but things are now moving forward.
The incident is contained, and now Hanson Maritime is stabilizing the vessel and trying to orientate it with divers and lift bags into an upright position where we can remove the fuel and oil from it.
Approximately 825 gallons of diesel fuel have been removed from the vessel by Tuesday afternoon, according to the Coast Guard. Wareda says it's unknown how much fuel was spilled, but that Hanson Maritime will continue to work to clean up and contain the area.
The Coast Guard and state and local stakeholders will continue responding until all the threats to the environment have been removed or mitigated.
No one was on board the Haida Lady at the time of sinking, according to a Coast Guard press release. The DEC situation report identified possible risk to wildlife, including marine birds, stellar sea lions, and whales. State lawmakers are investigating a whistleblower's complaint that the state didn't fine a seafood plant for what they called egregious violations of COVID-19 workplace safety standards. House Representative Zach Fields used to work for the Department of Labor and is now chair of the legislature's Labor and Commerce Committee. He and the co-chair of the committee were alerted that Commissioner Tamika Ledbetter blocked enforcement of state workplace safety standards. Fields' committee is holding a hearing to address questions they have about a Copper River Seafoods plant in Anchorage and Juneau-based Alaska Glacier Seafoods. Both companies had large COVID-19 outbreaks last year.
Alaskans have to work to provide for their families. When they go to work, they shouldn't have to risk their lives to put food on the table.
Fields, who also works for a labor union outside of his legislative job, says that seafood plants by nature have large numbers of people, so it's important that they follow basic safeguards like social distancing having hand sanitizer available, and putting barriers up when people have to work in close quarters. According to the Department of Labor documents, state workplace safety inspectors were asked to visit the Copper River plant after learning that 77% of the company's Anchorage plant employees had contracted COVID-19. State contact tracers told inspectors that 19 employees had complained about the plant when they were being interviewed. Workers described crowded working conditions, having to purchase their own masks, and their complaints to management falling on deaf ears, according to inspection records. State inspectors showed up at the Copper River's East plant in Anchorage in August and later found that 5 employees who previously tested positive for COVID-19 and should have been in isolation were instead working at the plant during the on-site inspections. The inspectors proposed a combined total of $450,000 in fines after that site visit, but the commissioner blocked it, saying that it wasn't adequately supported by documentation that the inspectors provided. No one from Copper River Seafoods returned a phone message seeking comment. Field said he wants the commissioner to come before his committee and explain why she made that decision.
To me, it's a policy matter because the occupational safety and health staff did their job. They investigated workplace safety issues. They recommended steps to correct problems on the job site when that didn't occur. They undertook enforcement action. The problem I have is a political appointee effectively flushing the law down the toilet by refusing to enforce it.
When reached via email on Tuesday, Commissioner Ledbetter said the type of citation that inspectors wanted to issue is unprecedented in Alaska. She says her department is working with its federal counterpart to figure out its authority going forward. She didn't answer questions about what her office would do to enforce COVID-19 safety standards with employers who refuse to follow them. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers will reconsider its decision denying a permit for the proposed Pebble Mine. The agency has accepted an appeal application from the Pebble Limited Partnership. The Army Corps says the application is sufficient to begin an administrative appeal. The Corps decided in November that Pebble's plan to mitigate the environmental damage was inadequate and that the project doesn't serve the public. The open-pit gold mine would be among the largest in the world. The site is upstream from Bristol Bay. The agency rejected an appeal from the state of Alaska. The state has no standing to appeal because it's not the permit applicant, the Corps said. Governor Mike Dunleavy says the state should be able to appeal because the mine would be important to the state's economy and would be built on state land. Landing of NASA's Perseverance rover has focused world attention on Mars. Meanwhile, lesser known to the public, scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks are also studying the red planet. KUAC's Mary Ault has this report.
Touchdown confirmed. Perseverance safely on the surface of Mars.
As the Perseverance rover touched down on Mars, Robert Herrick was in his office in Fairbanks researching the surface of that planet. Herrick is a research professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Geophysical Institute. He's working to understand impact craters, the holes formed when meteorites hit planets. These events can cause massive changes.
They're important for Earth in terms of, for instance, one is the reason that dinosaurs no longer rule the Earth and we exist.
While Herrick's research isn't directly related to the Perseverance mission, the rover is gathering data on an impact crater, the same feature Herrick researches. The purpose of the Perseverance mission is to determine whether Mars has supported life in the past and how humans might be able to visit the planet in the future. There are a number of ongoing and planned missions to collect data from Mars. Herrick predicts that humans will land on Mars in the coming decades. He says there's currently a lot of energy around research on Mars, and Perseverance illustrates that.
The technology involved in just landing something that's the size of a small car on the surface is quite impressive, and having it, you know, the sophistication of the instruments that are involved is really impressive, and there's a lot of interesting science to be done there.
Fairbanks might not be the first place you'd expect Mars research to be conducted, but scientists have been studying outer space at UAF for years. The university first became known for research on outer space because its far north location made it a good candidate to receive data from polar orbiting satellites. In addition, temperatures in Alaska are the same as those on some parts of Mars. As a result, scientists can learn about Mars by doing experiments in Alaska, under those shared conditions. Herrick says local research on Mars adds to the ever-growing scientific understanding of the Red Planet.
I think it's an exciting time if you're a Mars fan.
For KUAC, I'm Mary Ault.
The Fur Rondi Festival in Anchorage traditionally draws thousands of cabin-fevered residents for a week of festivities to celebrate the arrival of spring. This year, the pandemic has forced the cancellation of some of the week's most beloved events. But as Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan reports, organizers are doing their best to keep traditions alive virtually.
Fur Rondi CEO John McCleary says some of the festival's most iconic events just couldn't happen virtually during the pandemic, like the World Championship Dog Sled Races or the Miners and Trappers Ball, or the Jim Beam Jam, a country music concert that traditionally kicks off the weekend.
It's hard to have a Jim Beam Jam, you know, on internet. It's just not going to happen.
But some events can be changed to a virtual format without too much trouble. The old-timey musical play, the annual Melodrama, is being screened online every night until Sunday. It's an interactive event where, in a normal year, audience members like to throw popcorn at the villains.
It's virtual, so you can only throw popcorn at your TV screen.
Audience members can pay $10 for that privilege. Some events had more minor changes, like the outhouse races, which were moved to Westchester Lagoon. A 5-kilometer frostbite foot race and costume contest is still being held, but changing from a mass start to a wave start. The Great Alaska Talent Competition is also moving online, which allowed it to add new categories easily, like one for people over 50 years old.
Well, if you don't come, babe, I might just go along, bring along my dog and his favorite bone.
A 19-year-old could come in and sing Ariana Grande and blow it out of the water, but somebody 50 and older has an older outlook on music, maybe, and it can bring something totally different to the table.
Megan Kaloran is the executive director of the competition and says she thinks even after this year, she'll keep the category, along with a TikTok category that's new for this year. While she'll miss the in-person show, she says that this year's move to virtual will help competitors fine-tune some of their performance skills.
As a vocal coach, too, I think that, you know, digital format of performances is not going away. It was here before COVID was here. And so I'm thinking to myself, they need to be able to perform in both aspects.
She thinks a digital component will stay on as part of the competition next year. Kaloran herself is also headlining the Blizzard Bash this Friday at Town Square Park with her band Nothing But Trouble. They'll be the first in-person concert on city property in a while. Audience members should be able to skate around the ice rink that was installed there this winter while the band plays in a heated tent.
It's a fun little event. It's just cold, but we're Alaskan. We know what we're doing.
Despite all the changes, event director John McCleary says he hopes the reimagined Rondi brings some normalcy to cooped up Anchorageites.
A sense of balance, a sense of a relief, a mental relief for the family to connect together and go do something that's more of their tradition during this time.
But like a lot of other people, he's excited to bring back the real thing in 2022. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trinan.
A scam is targeting family members of missing people across the country, including in Alaska. Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel says scammers are searching social media posts to find relatives of missing persons.
Locate phone numbers or names associated with missing persons, and they've been texting or contacting the phone numbers that are listed and claiming that they have that missing person or demanding ransom.
A trooper press release warning Alaskans about the scam says the caller claims the missing person was kidnapped and now is sick and demands money for their safe return. There are numerous recent missing person cases in Alaska, but McDaniel would not say whether scammers are targeting family members of any particular cases.
All I have to say is that there have been multiple instances occurring within the state of Alaska, and we hope that Alaskans will become aware of this type of scam occurring.
McDaniel stresses that anyone contacted and asked to pay money for the return of a missing family member should not respond, but instead should reach out to law enforcement agencies handling their case.
Additionally, they can email the information to AKC, cic@alaska.gov, forward that communication you had with the scammers over to that email address, and they'll also look into it.
McDaniel would not say whether anyone in Alaska has lost any money as a result of the missing person scam.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fishing stakeholders can apply now for COVID relief funds. Double check the deadline date. More after this.
Halibut and black cod buyers and sellers, simplify your sales online from one location at the seafood auction. Visit seafoodauction.net.
Alaska fishing industry stakeholders have less than 2 months to apply for COVID pandemic relief funds totaling nearly $50 million. The money, which was approved by NOAA Fisheries last week, comes from the original CARES Act that Congress passed last year. Eligible receivers include commercial fishermen, sport fish charter operators, seafood processors, aquaculture operators, and subsistence users. All but subsistence users must show that the pandemic caused them to lose at least 35% in gross revenues from March through November 30th in 2020, as compared to the average revenue for the same period from 2015 to 2019. Commercial fishermen get the largest chunk of the funds at over $17.2 million. Eligible processors will share nearly $16 million. Sport fish charter operators get a $13.3 million allocation. Subsistence users will split nearly $2.5 million in relief funds. The aquaculture sector, including growers of shellfish and seaweeds, get just under $500,000. Salmon hatcheries are not included. Commercial harvesters who fished in Alaska but live elsewhere are not eligible for Alaska funds and must apply to their state of residence. However, non-resident charter guides are eligible, provided they have an Alaska business license. The payout plan was developed by the state of Alaska, but it's being administered by the Pacific States Marine Fisheries Commission. Watch out for some confusion on application deadlines. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says applications are due by April 30th, but the commission says online applications will be accepted through April 30th, but written applications must be received or postmarked by April 23rd. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the third day of March, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 7:57 a.m., and it won't set again until 6:47 this evening, giving us 10 hours and 50 minutes of glorious daylight. That's a gain of 4 minutes and 59 seconds, nearly 5 minutes compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 50. That was set in 44 and 95. Our record low was 1, set in 1994. And it's currently 37 degrees. We blazed right through our predicted high of 34. Sunny skies out there, northwest wind to 20 miles per hour. Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 22. Northwest wind to 20 miles per hour. Maybe there'll be a chance to see some northern lights tonight. For tomorrow, sunny skies, high near 34, northwest wind to 10 miles per hour, turning to the south tomorrow afternoon. And for tomorrow night, snow, mainly after 9 p.m., low of about 27 overnight tomorrow. Southeast wind to 15 miles per hour could gust as high as 25, and your chance of that snow happening tomorrow night is 90%. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 4:55 p.m. That will be a 7.5-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:43 p.m. of 0.8 feet. Your next high tide will be at 5:07 a.m. here on the east side of 9.3 feet, followed by a low tide at 11:41 a.m. tomorrow of 0.3 0.09 feet, call it a 0-foot tide. Over on the west side, these are Uganic Pass tides. You have a high tide coming up at 5:22 this afternoon. That will be a 14.6-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 11:26 p.m. of 0.7 feet. Your next high tide will be at 5:30 a.m. and be 15.9 feet, followed by a low tide tomorrow afternoon on the west side at 12:07 p.m. and of minus 0.2 feet. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A weak low pressure will persist over the Gulf through Thursday afternoon. A front will enter the southwest Gulf by Thursday evening. The associated 991 millibar low will move over Sitkanak Island by Friday morning. Your resulting weather, Kodiak Island, Marmot Island to Sitkanak on Kodiak's east side offshore, small craft advisory through tonight. Northwest 30 right now with 12-foot seas. For tonight, northwest 30, seas 10 feet with freezing spray tonight on the east side. For tomorrow, northwest 20, seas 7 feet, freezing spray on the in the morning on the east side. Over in the Shelikof on Kodiak's west side, gale warning tonight in the Shelikof, northwest wind increasing to 30 knots today and seas to 8 feet with freezing spray in the Shelikof today. For tonight, northwest 35, diminishing to 25 knots after midnight, seas to 8 feet, should subside to 5 feet after midnight in the Shelikof. Freezing spray tonight in the Shelikof as well. For tomorrow, west wind to 20 knots, becoming south tomorrow afternoon, seas to 3 feet. Inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bay. Chiniak Bay, small craft advisory today, northwest 25, seas to 3 feet. For tonight in Chiniak Bay, northwest 20, seas to 3 feet with freezing spray. For tomorrow, northwest 15, becoming south tomorrow afternoon, seas to 2 feet in Chiniak Bay tomorrow. In Marmot Bay, northwest 20 right now, seas to 3 feet. For tonight, northwest 20, seas to 2 feet with freezing spray. And for tomorrow, northwest 10, becoming southeast 20 tomorrow afternoon, seas 1 foot, building to 3 feet in Marmot Bay tomorrow afternoon. The Kodiak City Council and Kodiak Borough Assembly will be holding a joint work session tonight. The meeting will begin at 6:30 p.m. in the Bayside Volunteer Fire Station. The meeting is open to the public. The agenda and web streaming link for this joint work session are available at the City of Kodiak website. For additional information, call the city's clerk at 486-8636. Well, your Kodiak Outdoor Adventure Film submissions are due in 2 days, March 5th. For the March 12th Kodiak Fairground Drive-In Film Festival. Films can be dropped off on a thumb drive at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Salmon Reception Desk. Contact Philip with questions or to meet you at the door. That number is 486-1871. Poetry readings will be held monthly through April for the library at their Zoom. Join us on Zoom to hear local friends read favorite poetry. Contact Ani to share a poem, be part of this event. The next reading is Wednesday, March 17th at 6 p.m. And you want to look at the Kodiak Library Facebook page for more information on that. The library offers home delivery for those unable to get out of the house and curbside pickup at the side door. Call the library for this service, available Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The library is also open by appointment for in-person visits Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., and Friday through Saturday at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m., and that's for 90-minute visits each day. All must wear masks and follow social distancing guidelines. For more information about any of this, contact the library at 486-8686. The Kodiak Arts Council is thrilled to offer a free program for young artists age 4 to 8, called Cabin Fever Crafting. Free crafting kits are available in a tote outside the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Each kit comes complete with everything that's required to make the craft, and each craft has a detailed instruction video to go along with it. There's no need to sign up or do anything other than come to the auditorium and grab a free kit from the tote outside. The companion video can also be accessed at www.kodiakarts.org. Just look for the Cabin Fever Crafting icon. There's a new craft and video available every other week, usually on Monday. And you want to follow the Kodiak Arts Council on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date with the new crafts. And you can call them at 486-5291 or 942-5840. But again, just pick up those crafts Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the tote outside the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. Saturday, March 6th is tax-free day in Kodiak. Sales tax will not be charged, and many of the local merchants will be just participating in this great event. The Kodiak Chamber of Commerce would like to encourage everyone to take advantage of these savings, along with the other great sales that many businesses will be having that day. Remember, when you shop Kodiak, you save Kodiak. The Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference is taking their annual conference virtual. Tune in with Swampsy and their partners tomorrow and on Friday to hear about everything from mariculture to broadband, COVID impacts to vaccine distribution. Go to swamc.org, that's swamc.org, to register today.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.